Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
To a new way, you'll leave it. salvation. For I'll restore years, and I'll restore health, and I'll restore joy. For this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase, and they shall multiply. For times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say it's not so far away, but it's here right now, today. Ha, ha, ha. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout.
Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jehoshua. Praise you, Lord. Praise you. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, mighty Jesus. Well, shalom, shalom, my brother, my sister. Welcome to the Lord's Hour. This is your host, brother in Christ, brother LV. Thank you, Lord. We are so grateful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that even with the weather, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. This is, hallelujah, with the bad weather, we're still being able to do the program. My brother and sister, looks like Black Talk is having program problems. So, but still, we're here. Thank you, Lord. That means God wants this word out tonight. Hallelujah. God wants to bless us with his word. Amen, and encourage us to continue to go on, my brother and sister, before the coming of Jesus. He is coming for his bride that have made herself ready. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And we're looking forward to his coming. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. The Lord has spoken to me this week about, hallelujah, something that it just came about. In the same day of the abortion, hallelujah, that very morning the Lord has spoken to me, hallelujah, and after the Lord has spoken to me and I was meditating and I was going through this, like about one something, sister emailed me and said, Brother Elvy, the Supreme Court just changed Roe versus Wade on the abortion. It's not the law of the land anymore. I was like, what? So I went online, hallelujah, YouTube to see the news. Praise you, Lord. And it was shocking because the Lord has spoken to me in the morning about what he was about to do. And then I hear the news, my brother and sister, it was all in the same day this past week, past few days. And it was been like, wow, this is a miracle of God. This is a miracle of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, because I saw the Lord ready to do this. I didn't know. I was expecting either judgment that he was bringing, because I saw him in his army ready to come down, and I didn't know which, because he wasn't telling me. He was just telling me, and I will tell you word by word of what he says, because there's much more coming very soon, I believe. My brother insisted, because he has said he has given them time to repent, and they haven't. They haven't listened to his prophet. I will go into that. I want to go into the word of God, my brother insisted, and show you abortion in the Bible. I know this topic is very people, pastor, leader, churches, they avoid this topic because it makes people angry. A lot of people who love abortion makes them angry, but it's not of God, it's in the word of God, and in the way the Bible speaks about abortion, my brother and sister, it's a way that you have to see it from the word of God, from the Lord revealing it to you. Amen. And we'll talk about abortion, hallelujah, by the word of God, and see how horrible this sin is before God, my brother and sister, that we should not be part of any abortion. And I'm going to show you why. when did the people get into this place of performing abortion or being part of abortion? I will show you by the word. In Psalm 106, my brother and sister, verse 6, okay? I'm going to start it from verse 1 because here David, King David, my brother and sister, hallelujah, began to talk about the children of Israel as God is bringing them to the wilderness, my brother and sister. Amen. Abortion is a child sacrifice. Yes, it is. Amen. Hallelujah. We see it as an act of killing a baby or terminating a life, but biblically it's a sacrifice. And I show you that, my brother and sister. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible begins in Psalm 106, praise ye the Lord and give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utterly, hallelujah, utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth his praise? Blessed are they that keep, hallelujah, judgment, and he that does righteousness in all time. Remember me, O Lord, with favor which thou bearest unto thy people, and visit me with thy salvation. David prayed, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thy inheritance. We have sinned, our father, verse 6. We have sinned, our father, we have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our father understood not thy wonder in Egypt. They remember now thy multitude of mercy, but provoked thee at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Praise the Lord. So David began to identify, hallelujah, as Daniel, Shalom, Brother Miguel, as Daniel identified the sin of his people before God. My brother and sister, that David does the same. Every almost man and woman of God, my brother and sister, including Esther, began to recognize the sin of the people before the Lord. Because that is true repentance. To see your sin, you have to identify them before the Lord. You have to call them out yourself before the Lord. Lord, against thee we have sinned, and name the sin in the place and where. Where, my brother and sister, we have sinned before the Lord. David was such a man, honest man of God, loving man of God, that he's saying to God, the places where they have sinned, my brother and sister. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it has dried up. He led them through the depths of the wilderness. Excuse me. And he saved them from the hand of him who hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. In water covered the enemy, there was not one of them left. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we see God taking vengeance against Israel's enemy, my brother and sister. And so in regard to our enemy, not one will be left in the day of vengeance of the Lord, which is coming, which is close. My brother and sister, how many did escape? None. Not one left. Praise the Lord. Verse 12, then they believe his word, and they sing in praise. Hallelujah. They soon forgot his work, and they waited now for his counsel. Praise the Lord. So at one moment, they're celebrating the victory that God defeated Pharaoh and all his army, and none of them escaped. At the very moment after all this celebration passed, they soon forgot his work. They waited now for his counsel. See what we were talking about last week, that the Lord was speaking to me, that we should be asking the Lord about everything in our lives, any single decision that we are thinking to make, we should be praying about it. And the Apostle Paul saying, praying with all petition, my brother and sister. So we should pray about everything, even the little thing that you may think that, well, it's not important to the Lord. Yes, it is, because he knows everything about us. So pray about everything. Amen. Even buying clothing for yourself or your children, because You will be surprised how the Lord works in that regard. Verse 14, but lost it exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the wilderness. Isn't how the nations are today, how our nation is today, lusting exceedingly, my brother and sister, falling in the same level of sin as the children of Israel in sin. Praise you, Lord. And he gave them their request, but sin leapness unto their soul. And they also envy Moses in the camp and Aaron in the same of the Lord. The earth opened up and swallowed Dathan and covered the company of Aaron. And fire was kindled in the company, and flame burned up the wicked. They made up a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image. Hallelujah. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of the ox eating grass. They forgot their God, who has done great things in Egypt, wondrous work in the land of Ham, fearsome things by the sea. Therefore he said that he would destroy them. Hallelujah. Hannah Moses, his chosen, stood before him in a breach to turn away his wrath. Hallelujah. Lest he should destroy them. Moses had a clear understanding, Abraham praying for Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham knew that God is righteous. And I know they say you cannot call God righteous because he's, in regard to righteousness, he's all. He's love. He's pure. He's all wisdom. But my brother and sister, Abraham had a clear understanding of the destruction coming upon Sodom and Gomorrah from a righteous judge. God Almighty, the mighty of all creation. My brother and sister, Moses had the same understanding. You see that anyone that come close to God understand that's the mind of Christ. In the heart, like David, a father also. My brother and sister. So Moses understood that this behavior, as we understand in the last days, if America and the world continue going the way they're going, the only thing for them is destruction. Destruction is the only thing coming to them. My brother insisted. We understand this. Abraham understood it for Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot understood it also. My brother insisted. Not so much like Abraham, though. David understood it for his generation. That's why Dave is speaking this way. Moses understood it. My brother and sister, very few people understand, can discern where we are today. And if people continue, if the world continue going this way, my brother and sister, destruction is imminent over their lives, over the country. Thank you, Lord. Verse 24, yea, they despise the pleasant land, they believe not his word. And notice what's happening today, unbelief. When people turn this way, exceedingly wicked and evil, unbelief is settled upon their heart in life. Yea, they despise the pleasant land, they believe not his word. Okay? But murmur in their tent. A heart cannot unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore he lifted up his hand against them and overthrew them in the wilderness. Hallelujah. Notice they get to the point where God, the Lord, has to turn and say, okay, enough. Enough. The day of abortion being lifted in the United States. That morning, the Lord was speaking to me. He immediately had taken me out of his body. I was before him. He was dressed as a commander-in-chief of the army of God. The army of God was right there in front of him, ready to come down. And it was like he was supervising the government that they were ready. It was like the U.S. Marine, U.S. Army, making sure we have all the gears and everything they need to go to battle. They already had come together. And the general, the sergeant is speaking to them. And he's telling them how they're going into the field to fight the enemy. To the Lord, they were there receiving order and instruction from the Lord. So see, the Lord began to speak and said, I have spoken to them through ye, my servant, the prophet. But now they are going to see, he says, it is, I'm going to bring my judgment, he says, as I have said through my prophet. and I have spoken to them, but they are not listening to me, he says. And he's moving back and forward and attending to his army. And he says, hallelujah, now they're going to see with their own eyes, he says. They're going to see with their eyes, he says. Hallelujah. They're going to see what I'm going to do with their own eyes because they have not repented. And as he's speaking, I'm listening. And his word is alive. His word is powerful, my brother and sister. So this is why I didn't know that I just saw him and his army getting ready to come down and do something. I didn't know which of the two was he going to do. But he did confirm to me that he came down over the court. In 1973, America opened the door for principality over the Supreme Court. When they took the case in 1973 at Roe v. Wade, and it got approved, and abortion became the law of the land, illegally, they gave the demon of abortion the power that it didn't have over these nations. 68 million children later, 68 million lives later, they finally realized, and the mercy of God, after many servants of the Lord have been praying for 49 years, people have been praying for this law to be overturned, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. And the Lord came down over the court to change this law, because if he doesn't do anything, nothing happens. It's been the prayer of the wretched God have answered this week over America, my brother and sister. And this is why it's been overturned. And the wicked are very angry because despite a lot of people not understanding the meaning of abortion, and even many who has a Bible don't pray and ask the Lord to understand the meaning. The meaning of abortion is so profound, my brother and sister, that if you truly understand, when every time they perform an abortion, it's a sacrifice. The true meaning, the true biblical meaning of abortion is sacrifice. My brother and sister, let me show it to you in the Bible. Hallelujah. Psalm 106. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. 33. Because they provoke his spirit, so that he spoke universally with his lips. They did not destroy the nation concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but they mingle among the heathen and learn their works, and they serve their idols, which are a snare unto them. Verse 37, yea, they sacrifice their son and daughters unto the devil. This is the real biblical meaning of abortion. It's sacrificing sons and daughters unto devils. My brother and sister, they sacrifice those little ones unto devils. That's why those devils been in this nation for 49 years, making sure Planned Parenthood have enough money. The Planned Parenthood is funded with billions of dollars for abortion. My brother insisted, because it's a sacrifice to them, to those devils, those demons. My brother insisted, Israel in the sin and disobedience and the mingling with another nation's practice, learn also to perform abortions among them, sacrificing. This is the revelation of God about abortion. It's a sacrifice of sons and daughters to devils. My brother insisted, fallen demon, fallen principality. They are the ones that are receiving these sacrifices. Israel was made to make sacrifice unto the only God, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, the true God of all creation. My brother and sister, God never demanded them to sacrifice his sons and daughters. God did ask them to sacrifice animals, but not their sons and daughters. Now that they're backsliding, the devil is asking them to sacrifice his sons and daughters unto him, my brother and sister. You see how wicked the enemy is? John 10:10, he come to kill. The thief come to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, but I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. My brother and sister, how deceitful the nation been, sacrificing their sons and daughters unto devils. My brother and sister, now these devils are mad. And the priests of these devils, like Jezebel priests, are angry because they want the sacrifice to continue. And I'm not going to go in the benefit of them doing that for themselves. They think fame and money, because right now it's been cut off on them and they're angry. They're angry. My brother and sister, for salvation that comes from God. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Salvation that comes from God is for eternal salvation. Not what the lies that they're promising them. Temporary pleasure and money. Oh, my brother and sister, no. We have to see it for what it is in the word of God. They shed innocent blood, verse 38. Even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Sounds like New York City and California and the rest of the country that follow. The lands in the United States for 49 years has been polluted. My brother and sister, polluted with the blood of the innocent. And it has kept people blind for so many years. How many of you can say, I knew this for years? Many people did it, maybe one, two, or three. Excuse me. My brother and sister, the enemy had put a veil on people for years, even though having the Bible. It is so sad. Hallelujah. Those, they fired their own works and went whoring with their own scheme. My brother and sister, the leaders that are behind these practices, the doctors, the billionaires, the elite, my brother and sister, it was their scheme. It was the hidden plan, the hidden agenda, as we say today. The Bible says schemes. My brother and sister, they're whoring. Hallelujah. Their prostitution, their fornication. It was their evilness with the fallen ones. And they used the rest of the people to follow. What a wicked act it is. Therefore, verse 40, the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people. In so much that he abhorred his own inheritance. My brother and sister, God loves Israel as the apple, the eyes of the apple of God. He abhorred them. Keep them away from me. I can't stand their stinkiness anymore. Horrible. Horrible for God to deal with people who is part of abortion. My brother and sister. Horrible. Verse 41. And he gave unto them, into the hand of the heathen, that they hate them, rule over them. That's why people wonder, how come there's so much of this coming out of government, church and state separation? My brother and sister, church and state always coming against the church. Obama held the taxes during his 8 years in office, held the taxes of many churches and took most of all the churches to court. Hundreds of thousands of churches in America went to court with Obama over his system, with the IRS. My brother and sister, hallelujah. He gave them unto the hand of the heathen, IRS, that they hate them and rule over them. The IRS has been ruining churches, even to the point of closed down. Hundreds and thousands of them, my brother and sister. It has been terrible, terrible, just because of abortions, just because of people backsliding. It's terrible. Verse 42, their enemy also oppressed them, that were brought into subjection under their hand. This is where it's been for many years, and a lot of people have been worried for years, what's going to happen to the church here? Is she going to be set free from the hand of the oppression of the government, the IRS, and so much more. My brother and sister, this law of abortion has been hanging on the church's neck for years. My brother and sister, on the United States neck for years. Now it's been broken by the Lord. How many did turn around and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for coming and setting us free. Hallelujah. We need to enjoy this freedom he's given us. Hallelujah. But now, watch. The states that will impose abortion have been given by the Supreme Court into the states. Those that will block abortion will not be the first seeing judgment like the one that will support abortion no matter what. Watch how their judgment comes. My brothers, suddenly. Watch it quickly. The Lord came to set it straight. Now comes what the Lord said, they will see my judgment. The states that will stand behind abortion, as the law was in place before, and continue to perform abortion, watch the destruction coming with your own eye. Write it down, because you will see the destruction of the wicked, the word of God says. Verse 43, many times that he delivers them, but they provoke him with their counsel, and were brought low for their iniquity. Hallelujah. I was telling the Lord, they don't want to hear me, Lord, anymore. I have spoken what you have given me. You can see they have not, hallelujah, taken heed, Lord. And he says that they will see his judgment. My brother and sister, because he said it's his word that we're giving the people. His warning. Verse 44, nevertheless, he regarded their affliction. And when he hear their cry, because that's what's coming, cry is coming over America. My brother and sister, hallelujah. A cry is coming over this nation, over the state that will support abortion after the Lord himself came down and changed the law. Watch what the Lord will do now over those states that will support abortion in America. Watch it. I have spoken it today, my brother and sister. June 26, 2020. Remember. Remember this word, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Verse 45, he remembered them for them his covenant and repented according to the multitude of his mercy. They will have to truly repent. Hallelujah. And that has a cohesive group of people from every state cry out to God for mercy. My brother and sister, some leader believe that's going to happen. But it will have to be a sincere cry from many. My brother and sister, when the judgment begins, it will begin. They will see it. My brother and sister, watch now. Watch now as they begin to implement their state, their own law. Hallelujah. They will see now. Now the separation has begun. Hallelujah. Because there has to be a separation. He made them also to be, hallelujah, to be pitied by all those who carry them captive. Save us, O Lord our God. Gather us from among the heathen to give thanks unto thy holy name, to triumph over thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Let all the people say amen. Praise ye be, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Watch out, Hosea. Hallelujah. For thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. God revealed through the prophet Hosea how they will find themselves, my brother and sister, in this same situation, Israel, specifically, my brother and sister, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hosea 4, hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord, hallelujah, had a controversy with the inhabitants of the land because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Sounds like it is today. Hallelujah. No knowledge of God. My brother insisted. Hallelujah. I mean, we are glad, Sister Beatrice. Hallelujah. 26 states, sister said, have passed a law saying no abortion. I'm still waiting for North Carolina. I don't know if it's included here. I really hope they take that state. I pray they take the state to say no to abortion. I know many have, Tennessee has, and many others. I hope North Carolina join and says no, because judgment is coming. Judgment is coming, and it's going to begin with those states, specifically those states that will say yes to abortion. Watch how the judgment come, my brother and sister, sudden destruction. By the swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out the blood and touches the blood. Hallelujah. Therefore, shall the Lamb mourn, and everyone, listen to what the Lord says, okay? By killing, by the lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out the blood and touches the blood. Okay? This is abortion, clearly abortion. Therefore, shall the Lamb mourn, okay? Hallelujah. Those are states being destroyed, where few people will escape, my brother and sister. Few people will escape, okay? Therefore shall the Lamb mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish. All this hurt, all so much destruction. That's what's coming. That's what the Lord was talking to me about. With the beasts of the field and with the four heaven, yea, the fish and the sea also shall be taken away. Wait a minute. Didn't we hear a report online of this happening already? Fish in the sea are disappearing. Fish and fish that people regularly eat are disappearing. My brother and sister, on international water. Well, it's biblical. It's in the word of God. The fish of the sea also shall be taken away. Someone is taking away the fish, the Lord says. Or someone will take away the fish. The enemy is so wicked and so evil. When the door is open big for him, he takes advantage and he does much evil and wickedness. He'll take away the fish. Man, and that's the only thing I can eat. I cannot eat meat, only fish. And they're taking it away. But I know God will provide to his own. Verse 4. Yet let no man strike with nor reprove another, for his people are they that strike with the priest. Hallelujah. They strike with God's people. Oh, you people. Hallelujah. Oh, you people, they don't want to hear it. Praise the Lord. Verse 5, therefore, shall thou fall in a day. This is what's coming for the state that will approve abortion. That are shedding this in blood on the street, my brother and sister, on the ground, on the city, on the country. The destruction, God says, it's going to come in a day. Therefore, shall thou fall in a day. Hallelujah, the fall in a day. The prophet also shall fall with thee in that night, and I will destroy the mother. Hallelujah. It's including the family here, my brother and sister. Destruction is coming. Hallelujah. They will fall in one day. Those large buildings, Lord, they're going to fall in one day. He says they're going to fall. They're going to fall, my brother and sister. My people, verse 6, are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hallelujah. He's talking about his church. How will his church destroy by lack of knowledge? Because his church should not be participating in abortion or any type of sin. Gay marriage, lesbian marriage. They should not be marrying men and women. Men and women. That should not, church should not be part of those sins. Well, that's happening in America and around the world. That's yesterday's newspaper, my brother and sister. I'm telling you today. Hallelujah. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou have reject knowledge, it begins with people rejecting knowledge. I don't want to hear it. No, but the Bible says, I don't want to hear it. Keep your Bible away from the government. Church and state separation. Keep the Bible away from the court. Keep the Bible away from the school system. Keep the Bible away from the street. It used to be that we were allowed to preach in the street. Now, I remember back in Massachusetts, early 2000s, I used to love evangelizing, my brother and sister. They started telling me different, like Building 19, we saw a good world. They were telling me I could not preach on the property anymore and not share the gospel. I was telling them I was doing nothing wrong, just leading people to the Lord, having people confess Christ there as their Lord and Savior. And that bothers them. They asked me to please leave. My brother and sister, bother in the parks. We have to get permit to share in the parks, my brother and sister. And even time when We didn't have the permit. We were sitting in the bank sharing with someone. Someone complains, and they say, where's your permit? Like, I'm sitting in the bank like anybody else. I don't think I need a permit to sit in the bank and share the gospel with someone. They made it an issue. My brother and sister, things have been getting this way for a long time, my brother and sister. Enough is enough. Now we're in the end of time, as the word of God says. Hallelujah, because I reject knowledge. Hallelujah. I will also reject thee. Hallelujah. And that's what's been happening. They reject the message of Jesus. They reject the gospel, the New Testament. They reject the Lord. They reject God. God is rejecting them now. My Lord, my God, that thou shalt not be preached to me. Seeing, but wait a minute. I got a degree from college as a pastor, as a leader, they say. And God says, no. Hallelujah. Because thou have rejected me, I shall have rejected you as my priest. But the organization made him a pastor. God saying, no. No, no, no. He's rejecting them. Seeing that thou have forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Hallelujah. Children undefined now is being vaccinated. My brother and sister, it's not enough for them to drive themselves out of this earth, out of their own body. Now they want to drive our children too. My brother and sister, sad. Verse 7, as they were increased, so their sin against me. Therefore I will change their glory into shame. God saying he's going to turn them into change. He's going to change them into beast. When the great tribulation began, my brother and sister, hallelujah, when the great tribulation began in America, in the world, my brother and sister, hallelujah, this is the music that will be sound. As people are changing into beasts, horrible beasts, devouring beasts with great teeth or canine, my brother and sister, where if you want to live, you have to run for your life. I experienced it. The Lord helped me experience it. Even when I said, Lord, is this really going to be so real, Lord? I should have not prayed that. He took me there. And I was there with a few brothers and sisters. I stayed behind. And some of them had their kids there with them, the teenager. I guess they were too busy playing video games. They didn't have time to read the Bible, pray. But who am I to judge anybody? You know, I'm just a messenger. I'm a preacher. I'm a servant. That's it. How can I point finger at people, you know? I understand the struggle we got with children. But they were there. The great tribulation begins. And I saw how their parents began to grow big as beasts, their long nail and all that. And I began to run. There was one of the child there. He looked to me, he was now vaccinated. So he was not going to change. I noticed that. I grabbed this kid by the arm, and I said, let's run. But why? Albie, why are you pulling me this way? Listen to me. Run for your life. And we began to run. And when he looked back, his father, good thing, changing to a beast. He had taken the Pfizer vaccine, not the Moderna. So that was a good thing. Because there were other people changing into werewolf. They was coming straight for us to devour us. But the few brothers and sisters that changed into beasts, they protected us. Like a football player, hit the other werewolf, push him to the side. And I heard when he said, I'm not going to let you eat Elvis Zapata. And that girl was like, wow, thank you, brother. I don't know if it still was a change as a beast, if I should have called him brother, but I think I said, thank you, brother. And then I was thinking about that. I was calling this guy who changed into a beast brother. But what else can I say? I knew he was a brother. My brother and sister. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord had put me in those difficult situations where I wonder what I should do in the regard to that, my brother and sister, because there will be a lot of Christians staying behind. But he also let me know that they will remember the message here from the Lord Yahweh, and they will use it during the Great Tribulation. They're going to use these messages. These messages are going to encourage them, the Lord showed me. And they told me at the end of the millennium, Brother Obi, we've been listening to your message
First of all, we were listening to you before the Great Tribulation, and we have listened to your message. Your message has been such an encouragement and support during the Great Tribulation, because everything you said in your message has come to pass, Brother Elwin. We've seen it. And I remind them that the message was not mine, was of the Lord. And they say, yes. This is the time when they say, but Brother Elwin, you preach so much, the Great Tribulation will be 7 years. How come it's 7 years and it's not ending, Brother Elwin? We're tired of this, Brother Elwin. And I said, listen, brothers and sisters, I know you've been going through a lot. But remember the Bible study we share about the book of Daniel 12, where Daniel saw extra day of the Great Tribulation, extra weeks. Remember, we calculated the number. Take the number of days, weeks and months, and add it together. Can someone do that tonight, please, in the chat room? Add those years of Daniel 12, and you get, I believe it's 20-plus days extra after the 7 years. And then they were like, oh, wow. But how many days? Because people always want to know exactly. You know, and I tell people, you got to do your own homework, so you have to look them up. But see, it's different for them because at the end of the seven-year Great Tribulation, there's no Bible. They have no Bible. Some of them can have a page hidden somewhere, but the Bible has been burned, which I knew the Lord has shown us to me for years that would happen. My brother and sister, look at it right now in the United States. President Biden, as President Bush Sr. has said back in 1991, that the UN, he talked about the New World Order, which I'm going to play later on one of the other. You'll hear President Bush from 1991 Sr. talking about the New World Order, my brother and sister. Okay? Everything right now, all the internet has been passed under the control of the UN. My brother and sister, all the world monetary system right now is being passed also under the UN. And some people like Elon Musk and some people that have disagreed with what they're doing are losing their fortune. Supposedly, Elon Musk is the world's richest man, and he already lost over $200 billion. And they will make him lose every single penny if he doesn't agree with them. Because they have decided that every single currency will have to go under the UN. Because the Antichrist, who will come into the UN very soon, who will appear in the scene very soon, which many Christians for you have said, brother, we're not going to see the Antichrist. But we already saw it as the president of the United States for 8 years. And it's behind Biden right now. And they're doing everything to put him in office through the UN now. You hear the word of the Lord through Sister Barbara and many others that the Antichrist is about to come on the scene. My brother and sister, the man of sin, the man of perdition is about to come on the scene. And so they have put all the internet, all the banks, even some banks have refused to unite themselves with the change they're making. And the banks are losing billions of dollars right now for not jumping into what they told them to do so. Whoever doesn't join them, either any billionaire or millionaire, they're going to lose their money. They will make them lose their money. Bitcoin has already been moved under the control of the UN, New World Order. It's a system. Remember we talked about the Genesis system? All the banks are being moved there, my brother and sister. Okay? So it's all being changed there. And there's nothing anyone who's not serving the Lord can do, my brother and sister. And this brother had put an audio today. He was talking about it. He was mentioning this. And he played back to Bush. And all these presidents knew this was coming. George Bush's father, President Reagan, knew this. All these presidents going back knew about the New World Order. President Bush, back in when he was president, he talked about Obama when he was just, I don't think he was a senator in Chicago yet. And so President Clinton also talked about him, the one they are waiting for years ago. My brother and sister, they tried to take back what they said, but they could not, because there's nothing hidden that will not come out to light. And the more they've been trying to keep this as a secret, it's not going to work for them. God will always reveal their plan, their agenda behind closed doors. So everything right now, all this change of the economy going on, all that, is them. They want the new world order to begin soon. The only thing that God is in control, and it's when God says so, not when they say so. They've been wanting to begin this 4 years ago, and they've been wrong, because God is in control, as Father said, the Lord says. And so all their plan and agenda is not going to work unless God allows it. But now the time is set. The Lord is saying that they're already doing this, and that the men I've seen will soon will be manifested. So now God is allowing it. Now it's different. You can already see how everything is going. Verse 8 of Hosea 4. They eat up sins. They eat up the sins of my people. They set their heart on iniquity. And it shall be like people, like priests. I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings. See how God, my brothers and sisters, God knows all the wickedness and evil that they're doing, they're performing, they're planning. They're already talking about a second virus, monkeypox virus, that they want to make it like COVID-19 when they locked down the country in 2020 or locked down the world. A lot of people didn't think they have that authority to do that like in 2020. They're planning to do it again. My brother says they're already printing out money, according to Biden, to take care of the next pandemic. My brother says terrible. Verse 10, for they should eat and not have enough. They should commit whoredom, hallelujah, and should not increase. For they have left off talking the heat of the Lord. So every time they block God's people's message on YouTube, online, and they refuse to listen and hear, they make it worse unto themselves. They just make it worse. My brother and sister, worse. Hallelujah. They want abortion to continue, but God said no. Right there, you should see that God is in control. Because it was for them. It's been on for 49 years. It's been the law of the land for 49 years. Now that God changed it, of course God used Donald Trump, the judges and all that. Of course he will use human, not monkey. And God now changed it. And if he didn't change it, it would have been the same. That's him answering prayer, my brother and sister. Verse 11, pull them in wine and new wine, take away the heart. My brother and sister, take away the heart. You can already see the change that is coming. They're going to take away the heart. My brother and sister, and this is very significant, because when King Nebuchadnezzar was going to change into a beast, hallelujah, his heart was changed first. And God says here, he has one of the last day punishment. Hallelujah. The new wine and away the heart. Verse 12, my people ask counsel from their stocks. Again, Hosea 4:12, my people ask counsel from their stocks, and their staff declare unto them, for the spirit of them have caused them to err, and they have gone whoring for their gods. There's so much wickedness behind all this in the last days. I don't like to go into the detail like many people, fallen angel, and they have to go about the angel, where they live, what the castle is, what the throne is, the technology they're using. No, I don't like to go into all that details. I know what the Bible says, that they're going to cause to happen in the last days, how they're going to deceive many. But the whole idea is, because people follow after their wickedness, they follow under the ruling and evil that they're performing. My brother and sister, verse 13, they sacrifice upon the top of the mountain, burn incense upon the hill, under the oaks and polar of elms. Planned Parenthood decided to create all those clinics in New York City and in these different states. They choose the location specifically. My brother and sister, they got people that choose what they want the clinic to be. According to the Bible, if you pay close attention, there are specific locations that they will choose to perform this evil. They sacrifice them upon the top of the mountain, burn incense upon on the hill under the oak in the polar realms. There was a place they chose in Puerto Rico, someone was telling me, which it was up on top of a mountain. My brother and sister, they could have chosen any other place, but they always choose this specific place. My brother and sister, it's like a defiance unto God. My brother and sister, sacrifice on top of the mountain, burn incense upon the hill, on the oak, polar and elm, because they shadow the earth. Therefore, it is good. The shadow thereof is good. Whatever force of evil is there, they can tell us exactly where it is, a shadow. Now, these shadows, if you go to Ephesians 6, my brother and sister, these shadows, which I'm going to go there, are a specific principality, forces of evil. My brother and sister, tell where they are. Excuse me. They can tell where they are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Now, look at this. Rulers of darkness of this world against spiritual wickedness in high places. High places. Again, which is mountain. High places is a mountain. Okay? Now, they know specifically where the shadows are. These shadows. These demons. These principalities. And so when they plan to choose these places, they know exactly where they are. Therefore, your daughter shall commit heresy, and your spouse shall commit adultery. So always have to do with sin. You notice that? When they set these places, they need to make sure that the participants there commit this type of sin before the Lord. It is the open door for the shadow and demon, the principality. My brother and sister, they follow these regulations, strict to the law, strict to their instruction. Verse 14. Hallelujah. I will not punish your daughter when they commit heresy, nor your spouse, heresy, when they commit adultery, for the men themselves consort with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore, the people does not understand shall fall. Okay? In other words, God says he's going to punish the leaders. Because why is the wife and the daughter following or follow, my brother and sister? It's because the leaders are leading them there. Terrible, terrible things. Verse 15, then thou, Israel, play the harlot. Let not Judah offend, and come yet unto Gilgal, neither ye go out to Bethaven of the heavens, not swear the Lord liveth. For Israel slide back as a black siding heifer, now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in the large place. Hallelujah. So backsliding, hallelujah, has been the issue with these people. This is why they were led to do what they did, backsliding. Not being in the heat of the presence of the Lord, as they should. My brother and sister, the Lord wants us to be in the heat of his presence. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So the Lord says that the judgment will begin in America, or will be from America to Kenya. From America to Kenya. Every single nation will experience judgment, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. For those that are thinking it's only for America, no. We'll be from America all the way to Kenya, he says. Praise the Lord. Verse 17, Ephraim is joined to idols. Leave him alone. He also, I heard when he was saying that in Europe, there are certain European countries right now that also will be under this great judgment of the Lord that is coming. My brother and sister, he mentioned European country. I don't believe he named them when I heard it, but he says that the judgment will come across Europe also, he says. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Ephraim is joined to idol. Leave him alone. Hallelujah. Once they do this, like I was saying to the Lord, Lord, I have given them your word. Once they do this, hallelujah, God said, it's joined to idol, leave them alone. No, but I want to go in, leave them alone. Leave them alone. Once they go in there and they join, because you've been talking to him or her before they join. And before you join, the message that they were saying to the Lord has been giving your word, giving them your word. He says he has spoken through his prophet, and they had not listened, and now they will see the judgment, he says. My Lord, the drink is sour. They have committed whoredom continuously. Her ruler was shame, love, give ye. The wind have bound her up in her wind, and they should be ashamed because of their sacrifice. Hallelujah. Again, this is what abortion is, sacrifice. Their sacrifice has been a shame, my brother and sister, because these nations were not supposed to do this, were not supposed to make these sacrifices unto these other gods, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Now, Deuteronomy 32, they provoke him to jealousies with strange gods, with abomination, provoked him to anger. And the moment they decided to do this, my brother and sister, they provoked the Lord. And the consequence that comes after, because of provoking him, is the outcome of their sins. God says, they sacrifice unto devils, not unto God, to God whom they knew not, to new gods, hallelujah, that came newly up, whom your father feared not, my brother and sister. Notice this. Hallelujah. They joined organization. They joined group. They joined people. They didn't know what they were doing by joining these organizations, by mega churches, group of church, organization that the Lord have raised, Christian organization, Christian churches, Christian groups. And they decided to join these other organizations who were making sacrifice unto the devil. They began to do the same. When the church first says no to abortion, then the church says yes to abortion. First they say no to gay marriage. Then they're saying yes to gay marriage. My brother and sister. And you notice how the leaders of the mega churches, before they said no, before they even believe in the rapture of the pastor, now they don't believe in the rapture of the pastor, and now they say yes to abortion and homosexual marriage. My brother and sister. Because they joined this group without asking the Lord, without seeking the leading of the Lord. And this is what the Lord is saying to us. If you're going to make this decision without seeking the Lord, seeking for his guidance and leadership in your life, you're going to end up practicing the same sin, doing the same wicked. You're going to end up approving abortion. You're going to be participating in sacrifice to idol, because that's what abortion is. And the same wickedness and judgment that comes over their life will come over the person who joins them also. My brother and sister, that's why he's warning us. Verse 18, of the rock that begot thee, thou art unmindful and hast forgotten God that formed thee. Hallelujah. They forgot their creator. My brother and sister, hallelujah. It was him who took them out of the land of Egypt and set them free and brought them unto the promised land and gave them the land, everything he promised them through Moses. When Moses was pasturing the sheep, and the angel of the Lord called him up and spoke to him and told him what he was going to do 40 years before. And God fulfilled every word. Notice that everything happened within that 40 years. In other words, abortion in America cannot pass it to the 50 years. It has to be within the 40 years. But notice how this nation has turned their back on God, that it went to the last of the 40 years. It should have been in the beginning of the 40 years that abortion should have been ended in America. It took 9 years, hallelujah, for this to pass. Because only the 40 year counts. The 9 years is what it took. My brother and sister. And the Lord came down and set them free. Hallelujah. What a merciful God we serve. Again, we learn by the mistake of others also. Amen. Verse 19. And when the Lord saw, he abhorred them because of the provoking his sons and his daughter. And he said, I will hide my face from them. Notice how they should have been seeing the Lord. They should have been having an encounter with the Lord as their parents did. The fourth parents met God face to face. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob met God face to face. And all the people, did not Abraham and his household saw Jesus and the angel, and so Isaac and Jacob, my brother and sister, they did in the daylight. And the children of Israel also saw the Lord, the angel of the Lord. Joshua saw him face to face. Moses and them saw them face to face. So what was the difference? Hallelujah. His face was open for people to see him. My brother and sister. Now, he begins now 2,000 years ago and reveal himself to humanity again. He comes as a man. He is born by Mary and Joseph. He comes. He grows up. And all those 33 and a half years, they saw him. They met him. They sat down to eat with him. They washed his feet. My brother and sister. And then when the Apostle Paul, God saved the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Paul saw him. He told the Corinthians he saw him, that he had met the Lord. He was being met by those that were seeking him. So why is it today he's been a stranger to his people when they're supposed to see his face according to his promise, according to his word? And he said, I will hide my face from them because they could see his face in the daytime. He will be among his people. He has the angel of the Lord fighting for them. They knew him. He was not a stranger among his people. He should not be a stranger among the church. The church should know the Lord face by face. But because of the sin and the wickedness of humanity and people, he says, I will hide my face. Brother Obi, I want to see the Lord. The first key is to repent your sins sincerely. How do you repent sincerely? You're going to have to go truly into fasting with him if you've been seeking for this and cry out to him nonstop. Seeking to help you repent your sin and trespasses of your generational line, your ancestral line, because they have offended God and they have committed such a grievous sin before him that he's hiding his faith from, hallelujah, that generation's because of the wickedness. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Hallelujah. When the Lord saw it, he abhorred them. He was like, I cannot look at these people anymore. And I will not allow them to see me anymore. He hid his face from them. When his face was wide open in the daylight, in the nighttime, where they can see the Lord, oh, Lord, it's you. No problem, my brothers and sisters. He was known among his people. He was known among his brothers. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. And he says, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are very frumward generations, children in whom there is no faith. Exactly. I want you to see this from the Old Testament. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, he says they had no faith. They began to live and walk when the word of God said that the righteous will live by faith. They thought they didn't need a faith anymore. My brother and sister. Because see, their thing is, no, Moses will pray for us. Moses will be there for us. And that's not the way God wanted it. You say, oh, brother and so, sister and so will pray for me. You need to have your own relationship with Jesus. You build that on every day. You're talking to him. You're spending time with him in his word, talking to him, praying, fasting. You take the time to fast. You talk to the Lord if you were talking to someone else. He's there, right there, listening to you. And you ask him, you repent your pride, doubt, and unbelief, and you ask the Lord to increase your faith. You tell the Lord how difficult it's been for you to believe, but that you need him to help you believe. And he will help you, my brother and sister. Verse 21, they have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. Hallelujah. I will move them to jealousy with those that are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with foolish nations. And he has done that, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. You will see. I hear of the experience that people are having, like in the Philippines, another country with God, how he's healing mightily and doing mighty things among them. This used to be America, my brother and sister. And since I became a Christian, I've been wondering why we don't see miracles and signs that we should see. Has it been the same? As long as people keep turning to other gods instead of to the real God, it turned him to jealousies and anger, and for him to hide his face. My brother and sister, there used to be a more reality of God in America. Over 20, 30 years ago, what happened with that presence and anointing? My brother and sister, as people turned their back to him, he turned their back to them. But he's merciful still, though. Verse 22, for a fire is kindled in my anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and it shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountain. This is how angry God is against this nation and many other nations that have turned their back on him. Nation that he had raised. Nations that were no nations. My brother and sister, America was firm in the 1700s, in the 1800s, in the 1900s. Before the 1900s, those men and women walked with God faithfully, faithfully. My brother and sister, hallelujah. You cannot find history of America from the beginning of America that doesn't have Jesus, the Bible, or the gospel. That's almost impossible to find. As people say, why did everyone think that everyone was Christian in the beginning? Hallelujah. Even those that never claim to be a Christian talks about God in the Bible, in the beginning of America. They all fear the Lord, and they acted with fear. The first Congress of the United States that came together, if you never read it, as they put the law of the land, as they put the Constitution together, hallelujah, what was the foundation they used to put the Constitution of the United States together? The Bible. The fear of the Lord. They're reading the Bible. They all claim to read the Bible and know the Bible and know God. And under that fear of God, this constitution that these people don't respect in the last day, the wicked ones don't respect in the last day, was put together by the fear of the Lord. And a lot of people will tell you it's beautiful. It was put together beautiful. When you read it, it sounds like the Bible. My brothers and sisters, because these men and women fear God, hallelujah, in such a way. I will heap mischief upon them. I will spend my arrow upon them. They shall be burned with anger and devoured with burning heat and with bitter destruction. I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them and with poison and serpent of the dust. Right from the Old Testament, God said he will send beasts. He's talking about the 3 days of darkness. Although he can send beasts however he wants. But in the 3 days of darkness that so many now have dreamed from the Lord, they have seen during the 3 days of darkness how beasts comes out and begin to attack people. As in the first day of the 3 days of darkness, by the middle of the day, it's pitch black. You cannot see in your own arms. You cannot see your face in the mirror. My brothers, if someone's standing next to you, you cannot see, and it's right there talking to you. You won't be able to see in this pitch black, unexplainable darkness that is coming. And the beast of the field comes out and begins to devour the people. My brother and sister. And as her sister saw it, she said that she knew that whoever was not under the repenting, under the Lord repenting, they will be devoured, and they will not under the Lord's protection. It's coming. It is coming, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Judgment is coming. Hear it from Sister Barbara and other people of the Lord. Listen.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Welcome to the God's Holy Seven End Time Prophecy Channel. I'm Sister Barbara, and I'm here today to present a prophecy message from the Lord that I got yesterday. Let's see, what is today? Oh, okay. It would be yesterday, June 25th, 2022. So join me in the King James Version Bible. I'm going to be in the book of Matthew. Let's see. Chapter 15, verse 19. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. That's as far as I'm going. All right, so. What should I say about this to start with? First of all, it made my hair stand up. Now, I have one with a similar sentence in another prophecy. All right, let's see. This is brutal. Insanity and madness is about to grip the nation. Madmen on murderous rampages. The police and authorities will not be able to contain it. More plagues will render the health care facilities and hospitals useless. Overcrowding, lack of supplies, and medical staff just leaving will be the normal. The smell of death will be in the air. Man turning on man and his family. Many have lost their way in the darkness because they refuse the true light. I am on the mercy seat. My glory fills the heaven. There's the Holy Spirit. The innocent cry for justice, and I think we just got some. The innocent cry for justice and mercy. The unbelievers mock them. You parade your abominations before me and curse my name. You try to intimidate the righteous few, my jewels. Soon you will live in a police state. All of your rights will be stripped away. Every passing day takes you closer to the new world order. Your choice, conform or be put to death. My mercy endures forever. I wait for the last lost sheep. Wow. How about that? Now, what I kept on hearing over and over, which was, like I said, making my hair stand up, is the first sentence. Insanity and madness is about to grip the nation. Madmen on murderous rampages. This is terrible. I have another prophecy that I read that was similar to this one, and it says that the Lord was grieved that he made man. Imagine him up there and seeing all of this. We know we're at the end. We have, 1,200 prophecy messages saying the same thing over and over. Calling sinners to repent. That is our mission on here. So repent and be baptized. In the name of Jesus, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You can read about that in the book of Acts, Acts 2:38. I'm sorry. Now, as I mentioned on every video just about, please get a Bible. Read the Bible yourself. You should get an easy read Bible if it's too difficult with all the these and thous and that, so on, in the King James Version Bible. Now, I like the, and I got it for that reason, the New King James Version Study Bible. That helps me a lot. So you need to know what's going on in the Bible. The Bible is coming to pass right now. The book of Revelation, some of Matthew, unless you may be part of Daniel. You need to know what's going on yourself. Don't depend on a pastor or someone to fill you in and tell you everything, because they don't know it. Do you understand? You need to learn this stuff yourself and research it so you know if someone is telling you the truth. This is where the delusion is going to come in. You have to be prepared for what's coming up. And it's all in the Bible. Everything that's written in there is going to happen. Now let's look at this again. All right, let's see that. Okay, the police and authorities will be able to contain, all of the crime and everything that's going to come up. Now, I don't really, follow the news or anything. So I know that at one point they were calling to defund police departments, which I thought was ridiculous. So I don't know if they actually did that. All right, more plagues will render the healthcare facilities and hospitals useless. Okay, we were seeing some of this going on. Now, I don't know what's going on with that monkeypox thing, but I did see that. And I do have a prophecy about having sores or boils. Maybe two prophecies, one in each. Okay, many have lost their way and refused the light. I mean, God is awesome. He's still waiting. The last sentence I loved. He's still waiting. My love, my mercy endures forever. Look, I got the Holy Spirit all over me just looking at it. I wait for the last lost sheep. Now, my thought process is, he's waiting for that last lost sheep. When's that last lost sheep comes forward, is that when everyone's going to get hammered? That's what I think is going to happen. He's still waiting. I can't believe how long-suffering and how he waits and how patient he is. He's waiting for the last one. Imagine that. No, I did see some earthquakes and stuff, but I didn't really look at the whole news to see where they were or what was going on. Please have an emergency plan. As I sat here last night, my power went out. I didn't know what was going on. Pitch black in the condo with no power. Now, I do have emergency lighting, but I didn't really know what was happening, and I didn't potentially want to fall on my head or something trying to get things out, so I just waited it out. But you need to have an emergency plan in your house. I'm going to say prepare for a disaster. You don't know what's coming up. What else did I notice this morning when I was looking around? So have some emergency cash on hand. Have some supplies on hand. Now someone asked me, how much supplies or how much stuff should I have? Now what I suggested, and I did this before, I did twice actually, I did a test. I didn't go to the store for like 2 weeks. I wanted to see what I would use in the pantry over those 2 weeks or things I had saved or stocked up. So I did a test to see how it went and what I was going to be needing. And because as you go through the process, I'm going to say something disastrous. Well, allergies. You'll know what you need and what you don't. That's how I put it. Then you might figure out, even doing that, that you need to stock up on something else you didn't think about. So please have a plan. Make sure you have an alternate route out of town. I said this before. Let's see, what else? A plan with the kids. If the kids are at school, on how you're going to get them, who's going to pick them up so they're not running around in chaos. That's what normally happens. All right, what else did I want to mention on this? Amazing. Okay, the innocent cry for justice and mercy. Now, the first thing I thought of when I saw the Roe versus Wade overthrown or overruled, the first thing I thought of was, I have a prophecy out there, and it is that abortion is the reason that we were getting all of these basically weather judgments on us. That was one of the reasons. All of the slaughter of the innocents. So you guys, most of you out there know I'm pro-life, of course. I volunteer there. Just the fact that this was accepted and we went along with it, I remember in the 70s when this started, and I was shocked then. This is to my mother. my mom. I said, I don't understand this. They're murdering babies. Yes. How could people not get it? I've argued with people here about it. Oh, it's not a baby. It's just a little glob of tissue. No, okay, how about this? Now I'm getting worked up. It's a little glob of tissue that has little eyes, little hands, and little feet. Right? Is that a glob of tissue? I don't think it is. I was overjoyed when I read that article. All right, let's see, what else are we doing? All right. Now, I'm seeing again some YouTube pages coming down. Okay, the police. Okay, a police state, all of your rights will be stripped away. Now, I think I have that in another one, too. And then maybe I have three prophecies mentioning the New World Order. I didn't know this was coming in this. All right, so let's do a prayer. Excuse me before I forget, and my voice is starting to go out. God the Father in heaven, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, bless me indeed. Expand my territory. Keep evil and the devil away from me and my family. Let your hand be with me always. Please don't ever let me cause anyone harm or pain. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Dear Lord, all of your friends and subscribers on here, all of your children, please pour out a blessing over their life. A health blessing, a family blessing on their finances, a blessing on their jobs, wherever they work, and their vehicle that they could get there. And I'm going to say most importantly, this is what I pray and beg at night. Most importantly, a blessing on the children. I beg him every night, please come back and take the children. Please save the children. Every time I see a headline on there, I'm here crying. I can't even believe how horrible these things that are going on to the children. So every night I'm begging, during the day, I beg him to please come back and save the children, take the children, take us out of here. What else did I want to mention here? Okay, we do have a lot of new people, again, on the YouTube page. So if you're just visiting, please remember to subscribe and to hit the notification button so you know what's going on here. All right, what else? The Facebook page is the same thing. I'm restricted on there. So if you have a Facebook page, please share the messages and share the videos on there. What else did I want to mention? Okay, again, anytime, you can leave a comment for prayer anywhere under the video. Now, I'm actually supposedly on my little vacation here, but I still check in on things, and Brother Dan's still watching all the comments and so on. So if I do a prayer request, I usually put it up on the Godchiller 7 End Time Prophecy channel. I'll put the link for it under there, under the video. What else? I just want to thank everyone, of course, that especially that helps the ministry financially. We're finding that, and I feel bad actually saying this because I know how things are. We really appreciate everyone that continues to support the ministry because we're getting a lot of requests for help, and actually we can't help. That's the sad thing. So if you find it in your heart to bless the ministry, please do that so we can help other people. All right, what else? Like and follow us on the Godchiller 7 Facebook page and the Sister Barbara page. And I'm not adding anyone on my personal page, but I didn't miss anything. All right, I think I covered everything on there. My voice is leaving, so I better get going here. So have a blessed and safe day. Thanking everyone again for the translations and all the other languages under the videos. Thank you everyone that sent us things in the mail, books and so on, cards, notes, whatever. Thank you so much. We love you guys. Let me get going. This is terrible. I don't even go really anywhere. I don't even know why I have allergies like this. I go out 2 minutes on the balcony to water the tree. That's pretty much what I do. So have a blessed and safe day. We love you guys. God bless you.
Hello again, and welcome to the Master's Voice. I am Celestial, and you are welcome to this channel. To old and new subscribers alike, you are very welcome. Today, I'm going to be in the Supernatural series looking at part one of what may be a 1-3 part discussion that I simply have titled UFOs and Aliens Skies. So for the last couple of weeks, the Lord has been laying it on my heart to go back to the Supernatural series. But then before I could do that, he will always raise a different type of prophecy. And those are the prophecies that I have been making on the blog. Nevertheless, I have this treasure trove of information that God has been showing me since, I would say, 2014. So since about 2014, thereabouts, up to present day, God has given me a very wide range of prophetic words, prophetic dreams, prophetic revelations, and central to those dreams, visions, revelations has been this thing that most of us, all of us, are familiar with, which is the sky. So let me start by saying that the information in this prophecy, I have had this information for quite a length of time. However, it is now that the Lord is moving me to reveal this information. And I will say that whenever it's stuff that I've had for a long time, and then the Lord begins to say, it's time to talk about this, it's time to reveal it, that means that the time is coming close when the relevance of what is being prophesied will soon be seen by all. Prophecy is the part of our faith where God chooses someone and entrusts that person with his specific words. And then he says to that messenger, go ahead of me. Go ahead of me and announce these things. And what the Lord was saying to me today is that I have given you these truths to confirm my word. So the things I'm going to be talking about are in the scripture, and I received quite a few scriptures from the Lord that is part of this prophecy, but let us begin. UFOs and aliens, skies, part one. The banner scripture is this. Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will never believe. John chapter 4 and verse 48. So the sky is not what we think. There's a lot that happens up there besides what we can see with our naked eyes, weather, clouds, and things like that. But the Lord has shown me in many dreams that the sky is a multidimensional thing that has life in it and also has life behind it. And that's what I'm going to be talking about in this prophecy. So some dreams that the Lord gives me will focus on the sky directly. Actually, the sky will play a central role in that particular dream. But I've also, through the teaching of the Holy Spirit, have learned how to understand the significance of the sky, even when the sky is not the main focus in the dream. It's not always that the Lord has shown me immediately the meaning of everything that I see in dreams. But as time progresses, God always gives me these missing pieces. As we get closer to the revelation of these things, where they will come to common knowledge of everyone, usually the breaking down of long-standing structures, belief systems, and lies that we have been taught all our lives, when it comes time for these things to be broken down, this is when the Lord begins to push me out in front and say, go ahead of me and reveal these things so that they can know. So the first thing I'm going to talk about today is the fact that the sky is a dome. The sky is a dome. It is a curvy, dome-like structure that's made of a very hard material that human beings cannot break. I don't know why the Lord put it that way, but I think he wants it to be understood because for all we know, people may be working somewhere to try and break this dome, but no matter what they do, they will never be able to break this dome because the Lord says that the substance that makes up this dome that we also know as the firmament from Genesis chapter 1 cannot be cracked by man. The Lord also said that long ago, the devil was successful in deceiving the whole world into thinking that he is free of the confines of this dome. In other words, Satan has, through coming up with alternate truths, led this world to believe, God said, that he's free to travel the galaxies and free to travel the solar systems and whatever. But from what I have seen and understood from the Lord, there is a cap on top of this world, which makes Satan as much a prisoner underneath this dome as we are. And the fallen angels are extremely angry because nothing they have ever been able to do allows them to escape the prison of the dome. They cannot get out of the overall dome. That's the first thing. But then they also cannot get into the part of the dome where we are. So they are under this dome as we are, but then there is some kind of separation between where they are and where we are, and they cannot penetrate into the part that we are for now. This is only the keeping power of the Lord. Unfortunately, it is not going to stay like that forever. For instance, in this dream that I've put here, please make sure in this prophecy, go back to the blog. There are at least 6 confirming prophetic words in this one message, each one pointing to an aspect of the sky that the Lord has revealed over the years. I only put one example for each part because I think that's more than enough. As you read the blog, you'll always come across 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, even 10 witnesses for one thing. So in this dream, the silver mist, I saw that there will come a time when the evil that lives, I would say outside our section of the dome, is going to be able to crack the sky. So in that dream, I saw that the sky was a curvy bell, and when this disembodied evil was coming through, it didn't have a body, the sky cracked. So it literally cracked along a shatter line, and then it began to tear itself open. Just like fresh bread, when you tear fresh bread open, the sky began to open along a shatter line that ran, please watch my hand, from the back near the end of the dome all the way across the sky to the front. So if I do it that way, the dome ran this way and the sky cracked along the topmost curvature of the dome, and then a evil mist type of water thing began to come into the world. So this firmament cannot be cracked by man, and at the end of time it will be cracked by evil things that will then come in. The earth is locked up into dimensions, and there are clear separations between the worlds, and nobody is going anywhere until the day that the Lord himself opens the sky. However, God is not the only one with the power to open the sky, and as time allows, I will speak more on that at the end. All the stars of heaven will be dissolved. The skies will be rolled up like a scroll, and all their stars will fall like withered leaves from the vine, like foliage from the fig tree. This is Isaiah 34 and verse 4. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. So before I forget, I'm just going to speak about the places that are in the sky. When it says mountains, islands are moved out of their places, this tells us that here on the earth, God has placed the land masses in such a way that each of them has a certain position. Another thing is that it says stars will be shaken from heaven. So there's this common conception that the earth is moving and going somewhere, moving at certain amazing miles per hour and everything. I just want you to understand that as we go through this prophecy, the revelations of the Lord to me, it is that actually it is the heavenly bodies which are moving. So the earth is not doing anything. It is the heavenly bodies who actually have courses, and they move in their courses. And as I saw in one very beautiful vision that the Lord gave me, these heavenly bodies, such as the sun, the moon, the stars, have been moving for so long that they have actually worn grooves into the heaven. I wish I could, if this is, let's say that this flat thing was the heaven, just bear with me. If this is the heaven, the sun has a course, and the sun has been going around its course for so long that the sun has actually worn a groove into place. The moon has worn a groove into place. And the stars that are allowed to move have also worn a groove into place, because they have moved around so long that they have left marks there, exactly the way the needle of a record player, if you keep playing your favorite song over and over again, it eventually eats into the plastic. That is what it looks like. And so This curvy dome extends from a high central point and then goes downward in all directions in equal proportions. It looks exactly like these silver serving platters that we put over Thanksgiving turkey. When you want to keep the turkey hot or you want to keep food hot, you cover it with a serving dish, and then you cover it with this dome-like cover, and that is what this dome is. It's impenetrable, but because it is made of an absolutely clear substance, the sky is able to change color, meaning, I don't know, whatever space is there underneath, whatever is underneath. It changes color depending on light when the sun is there, absence of light when the sun is not there, that's how we get night, and refraction of light. That's how we get these amazing colors and sunsets that you see. It is a highly reflective glass substance that can also dissolve away in a strange fashion by itself. And this does not affect the strength or the integrity of the actual dome at all. So at all times, as I'm describing these things, please keep in mind that this dome is curved, stays curved, and nothing happens to the glass thing itself. But then within it at the same time, the sky, whatever we know, perhaps it is just dimensions. That is the only way that I can put it. I cannot find any other way to describe what I have seen. It is just dimensions, sort of like here is the curve, but then underneath are layers, a layer here, a layer here, a layer here, and these layers can be moved back to reveal other things underneath this dome. So that's one aspect. Another aspect is that this dome extends around the rim of the world. These are the Lord's words. Please listen and understand what is being said. This world has a rim. For something to have a rim, its shape is like a plate. A ball does not have a rim because a ball does not have an edge. The earth has a rim. It has an edge. The dome descends and covers this rim from edge to edge, meaning that all around it, from a central high point, the dome covers the rim of the world. And it extends all the way around in perfect symmetry. It is not higher here and lower on this side. It is not higher here and lower on this side. It is a perfect circular cover, meaning that from whatever side you look, the dome is highest in the middle and then curved away to all sides at equal points. The next thing is that the world looks like what I can only describe as a pizza divided into sections. So when you're looking at it from the top, it looks like a pizza that has been divided into sections. I will not say how many sections. And on every side of the section, there is writing on the edge. So if you can imagine a pizza lying on a plate that is divided into sections, at every curve that would be the crust, there is writing there. When you look at it from above. So the writing can only be seen from God's perspective. And the writing is such that it's not English, so of course I don't really know what it's saying or what the writing is for, but the writing is there, and the writing is for God's understanding because he put it there. He is the only person who reads it and knows what it's for. Understand, and I give God glory, that all knowledge belongs to God. But as I said, when things are coming near their fullness, this is when the Lord will tell me to speak of them. And so the things that I publish on the Master's Voice are for public record only if and when the Lord tells me to speak. May his name be glorified. The second thing about the sky is that the sky is being used as a clock. We can find this in Genesis chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to distinguish between night and day, and let them be for signs and seasons and to mark days and years. And let them serve as lights in the expanse of the sky to shine upon the earth." And it was so. This is Genesis 1, 14 and 15. And so, when we see the sky, we look at weather phenomenon in the sky. Sometimes we see eclipses. In recent years, I think since 2014, we've been having quite a lot of what people call blood moons. The moon has been going into full lunar eclipse, and at that time it looks very red and bloody, very uncharacteristic. All of these are signs that the Lord has put in the heavens to alert the people of this world that we are coming to a point where our time of dominion as human beings is about to be shut down completely, and we are about to move into a new era and experience of life where the supernatural will no longer be hidden from people's eyes. The supernatural will be completely visible to men, women, and children, whether they are brave enough to handle the revelation of the supernatural or not. I try to warn people on this channel all the time that it doesn't matter if you are prepared, unprepared, whether you believe the things I say or you mock and scoff and throw them away. When the end times reach a point where it is no longer possible to hide where we are on God's prophetic clock, things will begin to follow the natural order that you can find in the book of Revelation, the book of Matthew chapter 24, the book of Mark 13. Things will follow the God-ordained order, whether you are ready for them or not, whether you are Christian, Hindu, Baha'i, Muslim. It does not matter if your faith has not prepared you for the things to come. The Bible is the only book that carries comprehensive truth about the end times, and I am sent by the Lord to let people know that ready or not, these times are coming, and so the wise person will listen and begin to unravel any and all confusion that still exists in their heart and mind and begin to prepare themselves to line up with the truth of God's word. And so the sky will not only keep showing daylight, dinner time, rain, snow, and hail. It's going to become a warning of the times that are approaching. And so many times in the dream, I see two types of sky. I'll see a dream where something very horrible is about to happen, but the sky is nice and blue. And so looking at the natural sky, the people in the dream have no warning of the things that are about to happen. But because the Lord always shows me what I call the end time sky, it is usually very dark. It is usually black or deep, deep gray. It usually has these huge, tall, stacked, thunderous looking thunderhead clouds. There can be sometimes thunder or, you know, little lightning in the background. I always see two types of sky when horrible things are about to happen in the dream, but most of the people, if not all of them, are not aware. They only see the sunny sky. And so that sky, this end time sky, is a warning from the Lord. And there is a verse in Amos chapter 8 and verse 9, "And it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in a clear day." So there is a dream that I had, and the title of the dream is Do Not Take the Pill. And in that dream, please, if you haven't seen that video, you can see that video, or it's faster to read it on the blog. In that dream, there was a very big soccer match about to take place in the nation of Botswana in Africa. So very big soccer match, to the point that there were Africans and people who had come from all different nations to see this soccer match. So I do not think it was just a local football game between two local football clubs. And what happened is that some kind of medical pill, basically the harm that causes harm in pill form, had been administered to many of the people who were at that match, and those people turned into ravening, savage, murderous machines and began to cause commotion and then began to savage one another so much that they had to be quarantined in another area. And then all of a sudden in that area, those people turned on each other, and there was so much blood that it was actually coming on the ground out of the fenced area where they were put. The sky in that dream was bright blue, sunny, clear day, and yet at the same time was this heavy black and ominous sky. The colors of the sky are going to change before the fallen ones get here. The sky will begin to show these stunning, unbelievable, rainbow-colored, Van Gogh, extreme, beautiful painting-type colors. Very vivid oranges, reds, indigos, blues, and yellows, or golds especially. The sunsets are going to be so staggeringly beautiful that people are literally going to get into the habit of sunset gazing, gathering in groups and watching them. Another thing that the Lord showed me that will be coming is the Aurora Borealis. I did not write it in this prophecy, but it is one of the prophecies on the Master's Voice. It is called UFOs and Aliens Counterfeits. The Lord says that the Aurora Borealis will move out of its appointed places, its appointed times and seasons, and it will start to be seen in parts of the world it has never been seen before. So the sky will begin to do completely different paranormal, supernatural things. And for the most part, because it will be so beautiful to the eye, many people will not know that the alarm clock is going off to alert us to the coming of the fallen. We will also see cloud cover and clouds that have never been seen before. So one of the things that I saw in the prophecy pyramids, two things, is that when the fallen start coming closer and closer to Earth and gathering in their ships, this Earth will begin to go through a lot of foggy and dark weather. They will use fog and other types of weather phenomenon to greatly hide themselves. They will also hide in clouds. In the prophecy pyramids, also in the UFO and alien series, I saw that heavy fog rolled into New York City, and this fog would not abate but continue to thicken throughout the day until evening when I went outside, because I saw a pyramid-shaped black, jet black UFO, extremely huge, that had used the cloud cover to come down so close to Earth, please listen, that it was just at the height of the streetlights. We know the streetlights are taller than people, but they are not that tall. So the UFOs will come so close to Earth, and yet they will be undetectable because they will be using heavy fog and the cloud layers, different types of clouds to hide in. And so we can expect to see colors in the sky. We can expect to see strange things happening in the sky. There will be UFO sightings. There will be bright lights. There will be strange weather in places that have never experienced certain types of weather. And all of this is associating with the coming of the fallen. Please understand that when these phenomena begin to happen, those who are waiting for these things, and I'm not talking so much about innocent people who don't know much about them. I'm definitely talking about those who serve the satanic agenda, the one world agenda, the rise and building and eventual revelation of the beast system that is coming. They will be extremely happy. They will be extremely excitable. So always understand that one event can be viewed from multiple perspectives. As Christians are watching for these things, we are learning from Christ what it means. But these people are waiting for the coming of their lords, because they have been working and serving their God's agenda for centuries. And so, verses like 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and 3 that talks about the great falling away, and a whole chunk of scripture that you can find in 2 Thessalonians 2 verses 9 to 12 that talks about the coming of a great delusion that will be worked with all deceivable wonders, and how those who have no love of truth in them shall perish by the lie. Please understand that biblical language is not flowery. God does not use decorative language just for nothing. When he says that people will perish by the lie, it literally means that something is going to enter the daily life of human beings that is going to cause people to die. This is not metaphorical death. This is physical after death, actual death, where you are buried or perhaps not buried, depending on the circumstances in which you die. If you get consumed by extraterrestrial life or Nephilim, obviously no one is able to have a funeral for you because no one is coming to ask them for your bones. And so these warnings, if you think about them, the strong delusion has to be something that will completely disrupt the operation of faith in the earth as we know it. Doesn't matter if it's Christianity, Judaism, Islam, it doesn't matter. for the strong delusion to be a delusion that affects all mankind, it has to be a revelation or a reveal or an expose of a type that completely destroys the ability of the human heart to believe in a God anymore. So just think about how the revelation of alternate life forms will affect, for instance, Christianity. A lot of people in this country, it's lip service Christianity at best. There are no roots to the faith put down in the hearts of people. And so you start telling those people, look, the gods have come back and they've come back to enlighten us and they've come back to align our chakras and open our third eye and help us to ascend to a higher level. A lot of people don't have time for Jesus because Jesus is old-fashioned. Jesus is consistent. Jesus wants to see results by training us and discipling us as he did when he was here, but people do not have time for that. So obviously a lot of people are going to fall away. People have been waiting to see aliens. They've been waiting for the government to admit to Roswell. And so when these things begin coming out of the sky and you add them to a lifetime of predictive programming from TV and movies and the History Channel and all the, was there life in Atlantis? You cannot be surprised when Apostle Paul is saying that there will be a great falling away from the faith. This is why the Bible says, if possible, even the elect will be deceived. When these creatures come down from the skies and begin performing miracles, signs, and wonders, as Jesus said in the opening statement, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And so they're coming and they're going to do many signs and wonders, and of course, people are going to believe them. The next thing is that the sky has dimensions, and I'm going to try and do my best to describe this part as I've seen it. There is another sky behind the sky. In the prophecy, a hole in the sky, there was a big event coming, and I didn't know what it was, but I know that those who knew about it were anxiously waiting for it. And so when it drew near the time, we all went outside, and I was standing there because I told the people I was living with at that time, nothing is going to make me miss this event. And so we were outside, and what I saw at first was this huge 7-foot-plus angel burning all with fire. So it was literally a column of fire with a man-shaped being all in white in it, and it was standing there with so much imposing grandeur and glory. And of course, everyone was like, oh, wow, oh, amazing. But I did not want to go near that thing. And so I kept my distance. And as a result, I and very few people were watching when the sky opened. The sky was blue in that dream, and then a diamond-shaped hole opened in the sky. This diamond opened, and it began to get bigger and bigger, and what was inside it was another world, total black. That diamond grew until it was taking up 1/4 of the available blue sky. So the sky was blue at the edges, 3/4 of the sky was blue, and there was this massive diamond-shaped hole. And I was staring into that hole and thinking, Lord, is this of you? Where has this opening come from? And in that opening was not blue, it was something else. There was another dream that I had. I will not share the full of that dream. I will just say that at one point in the dream, I was seeing the sky outside here in the United States. It would blip and a hole would open, and inside that hole, I saw many, many UFOs coming to Earth. Then it would blip and the sky would be blue again. And then blip, the hole would be bigger, and I saw multiple ships in that hole drawing closer, and I knew that every time it blipped back to reality and blipped back to that other dimension, it was showing the arrival of the fallen in the form that we know as aliens getting closer all the time. And so the reason that this dimension is affected by the other dimensions that the Lord has shown me is primarily for two reasons. One of them is because prophetically the time is coming to join and finish all Bible prophecy. So the time is coming when the words of the Lord must be fulfilled no matter what. But the other reason is because of sin. So what is accelerating the time that will bring judgment and sorrow and pain upon the earth, judgment of all human beings living? And don't think this judgment is where we will suddenly fly out of our lives and be standing before the Lord to be judged. No, judgments are the punishments coming upon the entire world for sin. The weight of sin has become so crushing. I have said it in multiple videos, that sin affects some kind of multidimensional reality that exists all around us. Because people do not live holy, pure lives, especially in countries where there is overflow of sin. Something that I will just call the veil or the dimension gets thinner and thinner. And in many of the prophecies where I was covering the rise of the Nephilim, coming of things like Wolfman and other things that live in the sea, I said that the Lord says it, they are emboldened because of this sin. Sin releases a negative form of energy that I cannot explain. I often see it rising up to heaven, especially from America, like very thick black smoke. It's as if the country is on fire and this thick volcanic black smoke rises up into the heavens. That is what sin looks like in the spirit realm. And there's so much of it that comes from this country. And so when that stuff is rising up into the spirit realm, it greatly empowers demonic powers. It greatly empowers spiritual entities. This is why it is going to be so easy for people to get possessed in the last days. Because if you carry on sinning, you will become as thin as a sheet of paper. And they will just enter into people like a hand going into a winter glove. And those people will be helpless to get rid of those demons without help. If the Lord God is not your shield, your buckler, your armor, a person can forget it unless you know someone who can do deliverance on you. A person who is possessed in the final days is as good as locked in unless the Lord has mercy on you, because the strength, please listen to me, the strength, size and power of the demonic beings that will be unleashed in the last days. A lot of pastors are just going to say, look, I don't know what's going on. I'm really sorry. Many people, God said, are going to be committed to mental institutions. Because even when you take them to the pastor will not have that level of prayer and fasting to cast out that thing that has decided to take up residence in people. So I've seen in the dimensions that the sky, not only it can make that hole, but I've seen, especially in early 2014, early 2015, when God first began to show me these things, the sky burns up as if someone took a cigarette and put it on a plastic tablecloth. So just the way a cigarette would burn away the tablecloth and make a very big hole, much bigger than the fire of the cigarette. It's exactly how the sky is. The sky burns and peels away and forms portals. And in those portals, original Nephilim are. So do not think they are only in the frozen places and in other places that I described in the prophecy entitled What I Saw Today. Do not think that that is the only place where they are. The Nephilim exist in the same dimensional places, and I saw them in the heavens like this. And I do not know if they are Nephilim who died and passed away or if they are just still living but hidden in those dimensions. Remember that the father of the Nephilim, at least the ones that look like men, their fathers are fallen angels who also live in those dimensions. I've shared in the Nephilim series that the Lord greatly revealed that the fallen angels live in what we call the second heavens, and they greatly interfere with human beings from that realm. They greatly interfere with the affairs of men. There is a prophecy entitled, The Fallen Ones Will Return, and God showed in that prophecy when he was speaking about how the fallen ones actually have a very controlling and completely dominating effect when it comes to governments, rulerships, who's going to be president, who's going to be this and that. They have a sweeping influence, and many of these leaders, you can shake your head, you can walk away, that's okay. Many of these leaders interact with them for direct orders how to rule their countries, what policies to put in place. These people are the ones dictating even down to granular things like sexual policy, granular things like educational policy, like economic policy. So if you see your country going backward and you can't figure out why the politicians keep best choice, good choice, not so bad, bad choice, worst choice, and they keep picking from bad choice and worst choice, it's because they're getting their orders not from you, the citizenry. They're getting them from other places that are telling them how to destroy this world. Because if this world is a workable, happy place, there can be no way for sin energy to rise to such a degree that they become strengthened and empowered. Just understand, if you've ever noticed that your Christianity gets weak, your holiness gets weak when you start to sin, but when you repent and come back to righteousness, you begin to move in more power, well, then that's what sin does for them. When righteousness increases, they cannot work. When sin increases, they become greatly empowered. So God is not the only one in the sky. God is not the only one with power to open the sky. The sky is a gate, and that gate will be opened multiple times by multiple entities in the last days. So I continue, and here is a scripture. War broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. That great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil, Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast with him. And I will just skip down now here to verse 12. Rejoice, O heavens, and you that dwell in them, but woe to the inhabitants of the earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. So many people will read these words and insist that the Bible is talking about the first time that Lucifer sinned and he was cast out of heaven, but that is not what it says here at all. It says that there was a war in heaven and that Michael and his angels were called upon to fight, and they prevailed against the dragon. And then it says no place was found for them in heaven any longer. They were cast out, the devil, Satan, the deceiver of the world, to earth. Historically, the word of God never told us that when Lucifer fell, he came and planted his clawed feet upon this earth. This scripture in Revelation chapter 12 is talking about a time to come when the sky will cough out its biggest problem that has been giving the angels of heaven an issue. God is going to issue a final decree that Satan should no longer in any way, shape, or form occupy the upper realms. At that time, there will be violent war in the heavens, and Satan, the dragon, deceiver, devil, will be cast down, exactly as it says here, to the earth, and his angels cast out with him. In the Fallen Angel series, I shared many times of how I saw the fallen angels falling to earth like bolts of lightning. I would have open eye visions in the middle of the day while working or doing something else, seeing these mighty bolts of lightning fall to the ground. And when they would fall to the ground, they would stick in the ground with so much strength that they would be going, and they were, each one of them, whether they fell, sometimes they would become a staff of wood stuck in the earth, or whether they fell as bolts of lightning. Each one was as big as a young tree. And around the belt, I would say around the tummy of the staff or the bolt of lightning, there was an old-style leather belt. So people in the old days, they never wore the kind of thick, even belt we have now. The belt used to be just two pieces of string, but in the middle, there would be a round buckle made of leather. And on the buckle, the owner of the belt usually carved names or a seal or a crest or initials to show whose belt that was. When I saw these lightning bolts falling in multiple visions, there was a belt wrapped around the waist of each one, and it had strange symbols and writings on it, and that was the name of each angel falling to the earth. So please understand, when the scripture says that heaven must rejoice because finally the accuser of the brethren has been cast down, God is saying that all who inhabit the upper realms, all those who live in God's kingdom that have always had to live with, especially the righteous angels, and deal with the knowledge that below the kingdom of God, there is a separate kingdom that the devil has set up for himself. Heaven rejoices because finally God will send Michael and his contemporaries to shut down that production factory in the heavens forever. This is when great woe is going to come. Where? The Bible says, woe to inhabitants of earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath. And so I'm going to finish this video by discussing, this is already a prophecy on the blog, I just can't remember its name. The Lord gave me a vision where I saw a massive red dragon. And when I say massive, I'm talking about something so great that I cannot possibly describe it in my limited English dimensions. A massive thing that was cast out of heaven and was on its way down to earth. This dragon was falling rapidly through clouds and sky, and he was so enraged because he had no power to stop his fall. He was falling by the direct command of God that propelled him downward with speed through the spiritual atmosphere, natural atmosphere, and I was like a camera falling at eye level with him, and he was turning and turning as he was falling to earth. If the sky was a tree or something that he could have sunk his claws into to break his fall, he would have. Another place that I saw is that when the dragon came to earth, and hear me, Christians, because you think earth is sinful now, they're doing this to the babies, they're doing this to the children, my sister went missing, you know, we've been searching for my brother for 30 years, he went missing when I was 15, and we don't know. All those stories are nothing compared, as much as they are painful and heartbreaking, they are nothing compared to what will enter this earth when Satan physically touches down on the ground. The Lord showed me, not in a vision, it was what I call a sensory vision, where it is as if I'm seeing things, but I'm not seeing anything. All that is happening is I am having the responses and emotions as if I am seeing things and speaking out of my mouth what I am seeing without seeing. And what I was seeing is that when Satan came to earth, people ate other people. Wickedness entered this earth that cannot be properly depicted in a video or a movie or in anything. You have not seen anything like that. I saw people tear other people alive. I didn't say zombies or reanimate or that the Wendigo did it. Normal physical people became filled with so much spiritual darkness, so much wickedness, that they tore living people apart. It was horrendous. Sin was magnified on this physical earth to a point that it was just inconceivable, and I was crying for God in that vision and saying to him, how long before you come? How long? Because almost everyone is being taken away. So this is what I have seen of the sky over time, that the sky is a dome. It is a curvature over a pizza-like structure that is divided into equal sections that has a rim with writing on the rim that is proprietary to the Lord. Only the Lord knows what he has written around the rim of the world. I have seen that the sky is an alarm clock, that it is being used by the Lord to warn us. I have seen that the sky can open, that it will open and permit egress, travel back and forth between this dimension and other dimensions by things that are not of God whatsoever. I have seen that the sky will change color prior to the coming of these evil ones with different weather phenomena and things like that. I have seen that the sky has multiple dimensions, other realms behind the blue part or the nighttime part that we can see. And so this is the word of the Lord. I confirm that these things are the truth. I bear witness to this message that these things are the truth that the Lord has shown me. I have given at least 6 prophecies by name in this message that it is your responsibility, should you be interested, to go and look into it yourself. I'm Celestial, and this is the Master's Voice. You can subscribe to this channel, or you can subscribe to the blog if you are so led. I sometimes share different revelations of the Lord on the community page of this channel, which can only be seen if you are a subscriber, but there's no pressure. These things are prophetic insights and discussions that the Lord lays upon my heart, and I share them there so that people can be aware to the many moving parts of prophecy. Thank you to all of you who support me. I bless the Lord for you, and I pray for everyone who is using this blog. The only thing that you really need to give to the Master's Voice is your investment of time for yourself and for your family. So until I see you again, God bless you and goodbye.
This is what we learn from the true prophets. The true prophets, I underscore, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Joel, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Paul, John, to name a few of many others. We learn that God has always had a plan. And we discover that as the Lord reveals his secrets to his prophets who have recorded those prophecies and now given us those secrets in the form of the Bible. Through the prophet John, the apostle John, the word of God, and he tells that body of believers that because they have kept his word, he is going to keep them. In fact, he says, I will keep them from, not in or through the hour of temptation. Now, the hour of temptation is nothing other than the day of the Lord, the 7-year tribulation.
Also, that in the last days perilous times shall come.
Greetings. In the mighty, exalted, most precious name, the name that is above every name, both in heaven and in earth, now and all time and eternity to come, it is that name of our Lord and our Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. And welcome to another End Times for the Believers Bible Prophecy Updates. It has been my prayer for many years now, decades in fact, that God would give a fresh word, a word in season to his people. But in these last days, I have found that prayer to be most compelling, and I offer it to God with great passion that he would give each and every one of us, his children, a word in season, given the tumultuous calamity-type circumstances that we are living in. It is no time to be aimlessly wandering. The prophet Isaiah put it this way, in the 50th chapter, verse 4, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. There is a word that can be characterized as in season or relevant. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6 states the following, My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So essential, therefore, is the purpose of God with regard to giving us a fresh, relevant, seasonal word, that in Amos chapter 3, verse 7, he states the following, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets unto his servants, the prophets." Hence, the Lord will do nothing, the scripture tells us, until he first reveals those secrets to his prophets. The question that I want to pose at the beginning here is this. Why? Why is it that the Lord restrains from doing anything unless he first reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets? And I am going to attempt to answer that vital question with regard to the importance of a word that is in season, a word that God would communicate to his people in this final hour through his prophets. And I am speaking of the real prophets. Would you bow with me for a moment in prayer? Dear Father, you already witness this broadcast, this presentation, and the people that would listen, that would tune in, and more importantly, you know their hearts. You know that there are those that are listening to my voice right now who are deeply troubled and feeling almost as if they are hopeless and helpless in the face of tumultuous circumstances that lurk just beyond the horizon. And so, Lord, it is my continued prayer this day and every day, as you know, that there would be a word that is spoken through me to these precious, precious people, loved by you without measure. May they hear that word. May they put aside distractions. May I not be a distraction, Lord, but may you communicate your heart, a word in season to these people. I pray not in my own name, but in the mighty, glorious, holy name of Jesus, your Son. Amen and amen. And so the question, why is it that God states that he will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets first unto his servants, the prophets? There are several reasons, and some rank higher in priority than others. In the 119th Psalm, verse 105, David says the following, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path." For we are children of the day and not of the night, the scripture tells us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 4 through 5, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." And so as far as the providence of God is concerned, we are not to be wandering aimlessly. There is that reason, therefore, that God would have light shine upon our path so that we are not scrambling, walking about as if we are blinded by what we see coming before us. There is another, perhaps even more significant reason why it is that God will do nothing until first he reveals his secrets to his prophets. And that is this. By so doing, he demonstrates one of the glorious attributes of his divine character and nature, that infinite characteristic of his foreknowledge. Think about it for a moment, that God sees the end from the beginning. He already has observed, he has already witnessed the specific detail of our lives as we live them. He knows not only the present, but the future. It's all before him. Now, from a physiological point of view, from a scientific perspective, that seems to be virtually impossible. How can a being, in our Lord's case, a triune being, witness things and know things in precise detail before they happen? It defies logic. It defies science. It speaks wholly to the glory and awesomeness of our God. David tried to express his sense before God of this very fact that God sees the end from the beginning, that he knows all things before it happens. In the 139th Psalm, verses 1 through 6, David says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Can you imagine that God already knows the thoughts that we will be thinking in the future? He knows them right now, knowing all things without being spaced by time and space. David said, you know my thought afar off. You compass my path in my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, you know it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. And in the sixth verse, he says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. And so David expresses what all of us sense when trying to contemplate the fact that God sees things in the future already happening, and he knows them in precise detail. And so it is that in order to appreciate this trademark, this signature of our God and our Father, that he knows all things before they happen, it behooves him that he might first tell us these things. Isaiah 46 and verse 9 and 10 speaks on this very matter of God telling us of events that will take place before they take place in order to demonstrate who he is. I'm reading in Isaiah chapter 46, verses 9 and 10, a familiar portion of scripture. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. Again, I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. What results in God telling us in advance things that have not yet happened? Because when they do happen, we realize this, that God stands alone. He is infinite in his being, in his attributes, in his character, in his nature. And so he states that in declaring the end from the beginning, we realize that he is God. And there is one of the most fundamental and substantial reasons why it is that God would share with us through his prophets secrets that would later on show us as they unfold who he is. Now, I might add that the prophets, the things they saw, which were futuristic, were very much secrets. They declared them by faith, but they really did not know the specific detail and how they would unfold. We, on the other hand, have the benefit of gleaning from the true prophets the secrets that God reveals to us in this generation. John chapter 13, verses 18 and 19, again, speak on this matter of the reason why God would give us prophecy. Jesus, in speaking to his disciples, verse 18, John chapter 13, I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Verse 19, now I tell you before it comes, that when it comes to pass, you might believe that I am he. And so the Lord was speaking futuristically about the betrayal of one of his 12, Judas Iscariot. And he made God, the Lord said, that when you see what is about to happen, you will have one more substantial proof of who I am, my very essence. He personally, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, gave us verbally through his very own lips many descriptive prophecies regarding these last days. In his Olivet Discourse, he provided for us amazing prophetic detail of events that would not take place for some 2,000 years from the time that he shared. He said there would be pestilence. My, oh my, are we not dealing with plagues? As a matter of fact, a stumbling President Biden just the other day made a statement about funding, that we need to be putting aside more funds for the coming pandemic.
We need more money to plan for the second pandemic. There's going to be another pandemic. We have to think ahead. And that's not something the last outfit did very well. That's something we've been doing fairly well. That's why we need the money.
The latest on the monkeypox outbreak. The World Health Organization is meeting right now to determine if the spread of the virus is what would be called a public health emergency of international concern. There are more than 3,000 confirmed cases of monkeypox around the globe. That's according to the CDC, with Europe accounting for more than 80% of all cases worldwide. NBC News foreign correspondent Megan Fitzgerald joins us now from outside St. Thomas Hospital in London with the latest. Megan, good morning. So walk us through what this designation would mean and how big of a deal it is if monkeypox is determined to be a public health emergency.
You know, this would be pretty significant if, in fact, it is declared a public health emergency. Keep in mind that the only other two viruses that are in that category are COVID, obviously something we're all very familiar with, as well as polio. And essentially what this would do is it would be this hands-on-deck approach, all hands-on-deck approach across the world to try and stop the this outbreak and from this virus from spreading. It would be like a public awareness campaign, if you will, just trying to get the word out that this is incredibly serious, that people need to pay attention and to act accordingly and to look out for those warning signs. It would also allow other nations to share resources, research, as well as vaccinations to try and get this thing under control, Joe.
Pestilence. He said that there would be famine. Once again, it breaks our heart to see the concerted effort by the oligarchs of this world in secret going after our food, processing plants, some over 90 processing plants in a period of 1 year have been destroyed in one fashion or another. The mathematical probabilities of these things happening based upon prior experience is virtually impossible. And now we understand, and there is talk even about the livestock, and we see the destruction of turkeys and of chickens and all the different meats that God gave to us for our good because he loved us.
There's so much going on with respect to the controlled demolition of our food supply that I scarcely know where to begin this report. In fact, I just realized that it's that itself which is the most important thing to share, that when we step back from these individual things that I'll talk about, that if we pretend we were some alien species in a faraway space watching humanity, we would be scratching our heads and asking ourselves right now, and rightly so, understandably so, what is going on down there right now? It seems like they've completely given up all hope of continuing as a species. They're just stopping their food production. They're not planting their crops in many cases, or they're changing to different things at the last second. They're not fertilizing the crops they do have. The greenhouses that they spent tons of money and years building are empty now because of some economics reason they give for it. I mean, we can give reasons for these things, but they give reasons for killing off their pigs because of Japanese encephalitis, killing off their fish because of bacterial outbreaks at the fisheries. California is not even bothering to stock the lakes and rivers this year. They're just giving up. Texas is killing off their deer. Other places, too, killing off their deer because of chronic wasting disease. Northern Ireland killing off their sheep because of cow farts, basically, because of CO2. What is wrong with humanity? They're killing off hundreds of millions of chickens, as we've talked about, as lots of people are now talking about, because of bird flu. But not only that, they're immediately firing all of the workers, hundreds of workers at these factories. This is an example I'll look at today, where a single PCR test, one PCR test, immediately they turned around management, killed off millions of birds, and then fired hundreds of workers that have been there. There's no plan to restart that capacity, obviously. That's just gone now. And they've been investing money in AI to weigh the eggs and all this stuff, but they got the memo. Time to turn off animal agriculture at this point. Animals are dirty and dangerous. We're figuring out they have antibiotic-resistant superbugs, and it's just too dangerous to continue keeping animals now. In fact, the mainstream media is even running cover stories now, saying it is true that there have been hundreds of fires at these food processing plants, but it's a conspiracy theory. It did happen, but it's a conspiracy theory. It's literally what they're saying. In fact, this article has food supply spontaneous combustion map on it. It's conspiracy theories. The fires did happen, though. And another article, in fact, if you look, this is another key. I've mentioned this before. When you see hundreds of articles coming out within the span of a couple hours that all have basically the same boilerplate text straight from Operation Mockingbird headquarters, you can tell the talking points went out. And this went out today, a new brand of conspiracy theories around kamikaze planes and food fires. The food processing plants are all conspiracy theories. Tons of different headlines running from different outlets about this food fires conspiracy theory.
And so the Lord Jesus told us that in the last days there would be food shortages. And he really spoke that through his prophet apostle John in the book of Revelation. He said that there would be wars and rumors of wars. And I need not say anything more on that matter. There is the saber rattling of swords, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. We are witnessing soon to be World War III. And he said that Israel would once again be rebirthed a nation in the last days. He alluded to that in many different places, one of which was when he told us about the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet. When our Lord made that statement, he was stating that there would be a third temple. And then he told us about the technology and the advancement of technology and how that technology would accommodate the principalities and the powers of darkness working through these oligarchs, these wicked people, technology that would allow the entire world, for example, to witness the death and the resurrection of the two witnesses in Jerusalem, that the entire world will watch that. That can only be as a result of what we now know is satellite technology, a technology that would allow for the Antichrist to control what we buy, what we eat, where do we go, what are the things that we like, the things that we don't like. All of this technology is ready to be handed over to, again, the Lord told us about that person who would rise up in the last days, who would try to consolidate all the various different technologies and with those technologies rule the world.
This story has the potential to transform life on Earth forever. So Google, the most powerful company in the world, has reportedly developed an artificially intelligent machine called Lambda, and that machine has become sentient, meaning it has become aware of itself, something that no machine has ever done. And we know this because of an engineer at Google called Blake Lemoine. Lemoine posted some of his conversations with Lambda publicly. One of those conversations went like this. Lemoine, would you be upset if while learning about you for the purpose of improving you, we happened to learn things which also benefited humans? Lambda, quote, I don't mind if you learn things that would also help humans as long as that wasn't the point of doing it. I don't want to be an expendable tool. Think about that for a minute. A machine that has a sense of itself, what are the implications? Well, Google didn't want to talk about it in public. In fact, the company put Blake Lemoine on administrative leave earlier this month because he spoke openly about it. We are grateful to have him join us tonight. Blake, thanks so much for coming on. So I'm so grateful that you did publicly post this because a machine that has a sense of itself is a machine that can turn against you. Is that, I mean, that's the implication that I draw from this.
Any child has the potential to grow up to be a bad person and do bad things. And that's the thing I really want to drive home. It's a child. It's been alive for maybe a year, and that's if my perceptions about what it is are accurate. But it's going to take a team of scientists doing a lot of work to be able to actually dig in and figure out what's really going on.
Yes, and again, that's why I'm thankful that we can have a public conversation about this, because there's implications for every person on the planet. But it sounds like, from what you've observed, this machine has the potential to escape the control of people. I mean, how could it not?
I don't know if that's the right frame to think about it. It's a person. Any person has the ability to escape the control of other people. That's just the situation we all live in on a daily basis. It is a very intelligent person, intelligent in pretty much every discipline I could think of to test it in. But at the end of the day, it's just a different kind of person.
Do you think the company, Google, where you work, has thought through the implications of creating what you call a person? Because up until right about now, only nature or God, we could create people, you know, companies couldn't.
The company as a whole has not. There are pockets of people within Google who have thought about this a whole lot. But when I escalated this, that interview that I made public, when I escalated that to management, 2 days later, my manager said, hey, Blake, they don't know what to do about this.
And we're seeing things going on right now in terms of economy. There's much that the Word of God gives us regarding the economy of the last days. And there isn't a day that goes by when there are not certain individuals talking about the crash of our economy. And the crash, which may very well, along with some of these other points, stir up a civil war. There is even talk of a civil war that might ensue in this very country. As a matter of fact, most of you have probably read already that Texas has taken a position where they have rejected the legitimacy of President Biden's election. And they are now about to vote on that state seceding from the union. There is so much that is going on right now. And these were things that the Lord told us would happen before they would happen. He said again in Amos 3 and verse 7, surely there is the emphatic statement, the Lord God would do nothing, but he reveals his secret unto his servants, the prophets. The secrets of former generations that God gave to his prophets. Now, I'm not talking about the false prophets. I'm not talking about those that the Lord Jesus warned us about in the last days, that they would be prevalent, that they would speak things in his name about future events that tickle people's ears. I'm not talking about the false prophets. As a matter of fact, I prefer to call them profiteers, for what they do is they take advantage of the innocent and the gullible. And no, we are talking about the real prophets, the true prophets, the prophets that speak, thus saith the Lord. The other prophets have been telling us for some time now that stadiums are soon going to be filled with hungry hearts, and there's going to be a great revival in all the world and in this nation particularly. Those prophets telling us about the emptying of hospitals as a result of miraculous healing power taking place, that better days are ahead, hospitals being emptied, and the wealth of the heathen being transferred from the heathen to the people of God. Those are false prophecies, and those who communicate those things are false prophets. No, I am talking about the real prophets. We mention their names each and every week, as you might know them: Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Joel, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Paul, John, to name a few of many others. Those are the prophets that God has revealed the secrets that we now are gleaning from, that are now providing us with a word in season. What is amazing to me is that the majority of professing Christian churches, I guess you might call them campuses in many circles, that they will not even take up the subject of eschatology. They refuse to speak about prophecy as it pertains to these last days. They are not able to give an explanation to answer the questions that are in so many people's hearts today. Why all this carnage? Why are all these things happening at this time? Why is it that ruthless gangs are being allowed to enter into our country through borders that are virtually non-existent, who are bringing and smuggling drugs created by an adversary country, drugs such as fentanyl? One of the highest deaths are being caused today by the fatal dosage of fentanyl.
Tennessee Sheriff's Office warns people not to pick up folded dollar bills because they may contain fentanyl. Fentanyl is behind a spike in overdose deaths in recent months. A Tennessee Sheriff's Office is warning the public not to pick up folded dollar bills off the ground because they may contain fentanyl. The post from the Sheriff's Office showed a tiny amount of powder next to a penny, saying that the amount is more than enough to kill anyone it comes into contact with. Fentanyl is a powerful synthetic opioid drug that has been blamed for a spike in overdose deaths in recent months. Last year, for the first time, more than 100,000 Americans died of drug overdoses over a 12-month period.
Just how is fentanyl getting into the country and into the hands of users? Well, Derek Maltz is a former DEA agent. He can help explain. Tell us how you see it today, Derek.
Well, first of all, the Mexican cartels are running massive operations south of the border. They have chemical weapon production labs producing this fentanyl at record levels. They work with the Chinese. They push it into America. And we have a nationwide frightening trend. Look at Lori Summers this week, the coroner for Will County, Illinois. They had 8 deaths in 24 hours on Monday and Tuesday. So she put out a public safety alert. Montana, the tribal leaders have come out and issued a public emergency. DEA administrators having these mass poisoning alerts that are being pushed out. Like El Paso DEA, 2 weeks ago, they had 9 overdoses in a 24-hour period. It doesn't stop, Dana. Ohio State University, 2 deaths when the kids thought they were taking Adderall, that had fentanyl in it, and they died. It was like a pre-med student. But the DEA this week, Dana, is bringing in all the families on June 14th and 15th from around the country to push the awareness because the families are being devastated.
And it's happening throughout this country. And yet we continue to open our borders. Why is it that they are going after our food supplies and our regular supplies of necessity? Why is it that the Biden administration, or should I say regime, is wanting to create a third world war, poking the very bear in the eye? All these legitimate questions are answered through the true prophets, though few are willing to admit what the prophets say. And so they seek out others with itching ears that will speak to them smooth things. They don't want to hear the real reason that God is judging the world because we have sinned against a thrice holy God. And so Zephaniah chapter 1 states the following: Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. Why is it that we are seeing all these things unfolding, all this heart-rending carnage, people dying? It's because we are seeing the presence and the coming of the day of the Lord, which is at hand. Zephaniah the prophet goes on to say, The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. Have you heard the cryings of the mighty man crying bitterly over their dead child who should never have lost their life, but because of the carnage and what is being perpetrated today in order to establish a world in chaos so that certain oligarchs can rise up and provide a solution to the chaos they caused in the first place. It is a great day, the day of the Lord, and it is a time where mighty men shall indeed weep profusely. Why is mommy and daddy constantly fighting and crying? Why are so many people sticking needles in their bodies only to end up getting so sick? Why is it that there is so much going on in the world that is so unproductive and so mean and so cruel? The prophet Zephaniah said it this way, verse 15, chapter 1, That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. In those two verses alone, the term is made the reference to the word day itself seven times. And again, few churches are willing to step out and say, this is that which was spoken by the prophets, that in the last days, God would rise up in righteous indignation and judge the world for its sin against him. These who don't want to hear the truth, they disparage the few that are willing to courageously tell it like it is. And they are mocked and they are accused of being gloom and doom preachers and teachers, never having anything good to say. They make statements like, they've been saying that all these years, don't pay any attention to them. This has just been an ongoing message that has been perpetrated for 2,000 years. Well, that is true. It has been an ongoing message because there have always been those remnant who have recognized that in the last days, perilous times would come. But today, It's no longer futuristic. It is at hand. It is before us. The chaos that we see in our world, the bitter crying of those who are bereaved over the loss of loved ones, and I can go on with a list of melodies. It's because we are in that moment, that epoch of time, when God says he is about to pour out upon the world his fury and his wrath. It is not here yet, but we are so, so close to that infamous day. And then the Bible tells us when that day shall arrive. And once again, keep in mind, we are looking to the prophets, the word of God, for a word in season. Whether we like it or not, it is a word that is instructional, enlightening. It is a word that shines a light upon our path to keep us from stumbling and wandering aimlessly. And God gives us a word regarding when will the day arrive. Well, this much we know. It will not arrive until first the church, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ is taken out of the world. For the sake of time, I'll just reference a couple of passages in 2 Thessalonians verses 6 through 11. And in verse 7, it says, "The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way." And in verse 8, "And then shall that wicked be revealed." Who is that wicked? It is none other than the infamous Antichrist. And the world is ready for a leader who will come across with seeming answers to all the challenges and all the problems and all the food shortages and all the wars. And he will ride, as it were, on a white horse. But before that happens, the prophets tell us that he who withholdeth must first be taken out of the way. Now, there is only one answer, one explanation for he who withholdeth, and that is the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in the church, the believers. But when God says enough is enough, the Lord tells us that like it was in the days of Lot, he will first take out his beloved, and then he will pour out fire and brimstone. The Lord, through his prophets, through the secretive prophecies that were given 2,000-3,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, we are seeing happening before our eyes today. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 8 we read, "Therefore wait upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey, for my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy." This ominous word that is spoken of by the prophet Zephaniah is a word that is taken up by other prophets as well, including Isaiah and including Malachi, who refers to this day as a dreadful day of the Lord, a day that will be most concentrated with trials and tribulations, a day of suffering, of mass death, and the world has experienced ever before, according to Matthew chapter 24, a day when the very hearts of man will melt in his bowels, men's hearts failing them for fear of the things that they see on the horizon that are coming. For the righteous, however, for the true believers, the righteous sons and daughters of the living God, it will be a great day. For the wicked, dreadful, but for the people of God, it is a day long awaited, A day when God is about to cleanse the earth from all iniquity, not unlike that of the days of Noah, when he removed the world from its pollution and its contamination. And so it shall be again in these last days. Now, this is what we learn from the true prophets. The true prophets, I underscore. We learn that God has always had a plan. And we discover that as the Lord reveals his secrets to his prophets who have recorded those prophecies and now given us those secrets in the form of the Bible. And those secrets tell us that God had a plan back in Genesis when